Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Built up. If I can draw your attention to verse 11, where it says, Christ himself gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Anybody on your way up? I'm on my way up. I've decided I'm on my way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up. Isn't that like a song? Nothing can stop me. But nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up. I've decided I got nowhere to go but up. I've decided that I came to church to look up. I came to see higher. I'm looking for higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, set my feet on higher. Higher ground. That's an old hymn of the church. Higher ground. I'm looking to go higher. As a matter of fact, I can already look down and see that I'm not where I was. My view is different already. I'm already higher than I was. Thank God I'm not where I'm going to be. I may not be where I'm going to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm actually at a higher place already. And this view from this higher place makes me say, well, Lord, if this is what you're showing me at this level, Lord, I got to keep moving and keep going higher. And nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up. I'm on my way up. I'm going to a higher place. Up is where I'm going. When I think about going up, going higher, I think there are several ways up. And just quickly, there's several ways up. One of the ways up is I'm climbing up. I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. I'm climbing up. I'm exerting effort to get higher. I refuse to stay down where I am. I will put energy. I will put prayer. I will put my own strength into pulling and hauling and climbing up. A part of how I got up is I climbed up. I got up off the ground and I climbed up and I decided I'm making progress and I want to see that I'm making progress. I'm on my way up. I'm on my way up. Another way that I'm up is another way up is I'm growing up. I'm growing up. My wife and I are just coming back from being on vacation, and we were in Jamaica. We had a great time, and thank God there's preachers here that can preach, and we were on vacation for 8, 9, 10 days, and we had a great time. And while we were there, we had fun, but 50-year-old fun is different than 30-year-old fun. God, we did a lot of sleeping on this. Y'all don't know. We see people doing other stuff, and we're like, woo! Have fun on that jet ski. What you want to do? Let's go sit down. It's just, we're not as young as we used to be. We're just not. We'll actually go and think, let's do an excursion. This happens every year. Let's do an excursion. And we're like, yeah, we go to the desk and we say, okay, we want to go on the hike or on the zip line or on the, okay, what time do we have to be here? 9 o'clock. We're like, woo, 9 o'clock. That's early. When do we get back? 6 o'clock. Woo! That's like going to work. Do y'all have anything from 11 to 2? because we're just at this point now, what's fun at 50 is different than what's fun at 20. I wish I had somebody 50 that could say, listen, y'all go ahead. We'll be right here on this pool sipping on some drinks. We'll be right here. It's just, and every now and then, I miss being younger, but I'm so glad I'm not young and dumb no more. Good God, help us. I'm so glad, and you know what? I'm not as grown as I'm going to be. I'm growing up. There's something we have to be careful about being too happy about older people who act immature. We've got to grow up. Another way up is I'm pushed up. I'm pulled up. Right now, when I'm watching football, and you see it, or basketball too, in the sport, somebody gets knocked down, their teammates run over and reach down there and pull them up. Because, and if young folk need to be pulled up, then God knows those of us whose knees are clicking. I don't even want to do it right now. I'm not even going to get down on this floor. It's too early in the morning. But there's something about being pulled up, something about being pushed up. In other words, I've come into contact with some people that are pulling me higher. I've come into contact with some people that are going to push me up. They're not going to let me be comfortable with what I've always thought. They're not going to just sit there and let me say whatever I want to say. They're not going to do that. They're actually going to pull me up. They're going to push me up. I recently was having a conversation with one of the guys that's in the leadership presbytery over me, because I do have some men of God that give me oversight. And one of those guys is this guy named Dr. Mark Sharona. I don't know if you ever heard of Mark Sharona, but Dr. Mark Sharona gives me oversight. And so I called him the other day. I sent him a text. I'm like, I need to talk. And he said, okay, call me right now. And he was on his way from Shanghai to wherever. And so I got him on the phone, and he's like, go. All right, go. And I started talking, and I was saying some stuff to him from my perspective. And I was talking to him about how I was feeling and feeling discouraged, and I'm just going. And he said, can I stop you for a second? And I said, yeah. And he said, who told you you were naked? He said, be careful speaking too many absolutes from your 50-year-old perspective. Good God. Sometimes somebody 60 got to tell the 50-year-old people, shut up. And if you're uncomfortable with somebody pulling you or pushing you higher, there's a higher you may never get to. You can't just talk to everybody in your own generation who sees it like you and think like you and talk like you and believe like you and breathe like you and share everything like you. Every now and then, you got to talk to somebody who bothers you a little bit. They may push you up. They may pull you higher. He actually said that to me. He said, Andy, who challenges you about the theological things that you spout? And I just got quiet for a second. I just shut up. I just said, oh, sir, thou know. I got quiet because every one of us needs to get checked every now and then. And then he just proceeded to just kind of pick apart this thing that I had said theologically that I was thinking. He just sat there and pulled that out and pulled that out and pulled that out and pulled that out. And when he got done, I was like, okay, my bad. He said, you need to read this book. You need to write book. He said, you on a vacation? Read this book. There's something about having a relationship with somebody who's been there and sees something and knows something and has a perspective that you don't have. And if you don't have anybody like that that can pull you up, that may be why you're down. I refuse to be torn down. I'm going up. I'm on my way up. Here, the Apostle Paul is talking about being built up. Built up. Sure, I can climb up. I'm growing up. I can be pulled up or pushed up. It's a little different to be built up. In essence, what Paul is saying here is that the point of all of this is to be built up. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, to equip the body so that we will be built up. It's a part of the point of this moment is to be built up. Not just encouraged up, but built up with the express intention of getting you higher. With the express intention of not leaving you where you were, but taking you to another level. It's an intentionality behind it. It's that we be built up. And Peter agrees. That's why I read the passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter agrees because Peter is saying, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, so that you can offer acceptable sacrifices. In other words, Peter is saying, right, you're a stone There is the individual building of you as the stone. And then the reason why you are being built individually is so that you can come together and be built together something collectively. It's not just about your individual building. It's also about individually when you're built, you then can be joined together with other believers and build something powerful. That the Lord's intention gave gifts, saved you through Jesus to be built up, because not only is he trying to build you up, he's trying to build his church up. That Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of death won't stop the church. That Jesus has an agenda that is church. The more I look at the scriptures, I begin to realize and see that God the Father and God the Son have plans and have goals that are very complementary and very connected to one another, but there's differences in them. That the Father is looking for children. What great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Father's looking for children, that we are children of God. But Jesus is looking for a bride. And so the bride of Christ, being the bride of Christ versus being a child of God, is two totally different things. One thing to be a child, something else altogether different to be a bride. Jesus is choosing a bride because he wants to reproduce, because he wants you to have fruit, and fruit that will remain. That I realize that Jesus has an agenda that's about the church. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell therein. The planet belongs to God. The earth belongs to God. The resources belong to God. I speak this. The resources belong to God. The systems belong to God. And every person on the planet belongs to God. Not just Americans belong to God. Everybody on the planet belongs to God. People in China belong to God. People that don't know him belong to him. And a part of the reason why he saved us is for us to go tell them, hey, you got a father that loves you and a father that sent his son to die for you, that God demonstrated his own love for the world. God so loved the world. He don't just love Christians. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But we have to realize that Jesus is looking to build the church. You start having interactions with the church and the body of Christ and this thing called church. A part of what the Lord is saying is that the Lord is like, all right, I'm trying to build you up. All right, I'm trying to get you to another level. Okay, we're going to build you up individually, because the Lord is saying, I've got an ulterior motive in building you up individually. My ulterior motive is, once I get you built up and to be a nice, good, strong brick, then I can slide you together with these other bricks and we can do something powerful in the earth in this particular generation. Can I get a witness? That in this particular, when the Lord returns, he'll find faith on the earth. That we be built up. That there is a building up that the Lord is determined to do. And it causes me to ask Paul and ask of the text, well, what are the ingredients that are used for us to be built up? And I've got 7 ingredients that I see in there, because that's me. And I see 7s everywhere, and 7 is God's number of perfection. And so it's God's number of perfection. So when I look in Ephesians 4, I see these building materials, and I see 7 ingredients or 7 building materials that are required for you to be built up, not just encouraged up, not just hollered up, not just pulled up, not just pushed up, not just growing up, but for there to be an intentionality about you being built up. There are these 7 ingredients. These 7 ingredients, not only will they work for church, but these 7 ingredients will work for your business. These 7 ingredients will work for your family. These 7 ingredients will work for your marriage. These 7 ingredients will work for your team. My sons are playing in this prep program, and one of my sons is a point guard, so he's basically the leader of the team, and he's just sitting there just fussing at me about the team and how it's not playing so well right now, and this is yesterday, and I sat down, and I gave him these 7 points. I said, listen, you need to talk to your team about these 7 points, because these seven, he pulled out his phone. I said, when y'all are on the bus on your way to this next game, stand up. You're the point guard. You're the leader on the floor. Stand up and say to everybody, all right, these are the 7 things that we need if we're going to go up. This is how we will be built up. Let me give you the 7. Okay? Y'all ready? I'm going to give you all 7 of them, and I'll share on them as I have time. I'm running out of time. I've got about 7-8 minutes, and I want to be respectful of your time. There's 7 building materials. The first one is unity. The second one is faith. The third one is knowledge. The fourth one is maturity. The 5th one is consistency. The 6th one is honesty. The 7th one is industry. You're not going to see them on the screens that quickly. Let me give them to you again. The 1st one is unity. The 2nd one is faith. The 3rd one is knowledge. The 4th one is maturity. The 5th one is consistency. The 6th one is honesty. The 7th one is industry. I told my son, team going to be built up. It's going to start by you being unified. Unity is going to be a part of the way that the team is going to go higher. Tough for the team to go higher if you're not unified together. We have to keep in mind that unity is power. In a moment of individualism, we cannot lose the power of unity. We cannot lose the idea that we have to unify together. For everyone that's watching live stream, especially around the world, hallelujah, but around the area, I get it. I get the lure of wanting to stream and just be home, but I want you to know there's something that happens when the people of God come together. Oh, hello. Y'all are in the room. Something that happens when we come together. 1 chases 1,000, 2 will put 10,000 to flight. And so your power grows exponentially when you connect with somebody. And so we have to think about unity, and we have to think about the idea, and that is, can you unite? Are we losing the ability to unite? I was reading this article that was talking about how we are so into our phones that we barely pay attention to each other anymore. Well, help us, Holy Ghost. At this point now, when we come together as family, I make everybody put their phone down on a counter. I make everybody put their phone down in a basket because we are so distracted by that hit of dopamine we get from looking at that phone that we are losing our ability to actually talk with one another. You might slide into somebody's DMs, but after that, you better slide at a restaurant and put your phone down and look in each other's eyes and have a conversation. Because if we lose the power to unite, we lose power. Unity is a way that you are built up. Can you unite? What is your criteria for unity? What does it take for you to actually create a deep connection, a covenant with someone so that you can actually grow together? Are we just going to throw covenant out the window? The devil is a lie. Are we going to just say, well, yep, we just getting rid of covenant. We're going to just get rid of the agreement. We're just going to live together. And we don't want to make a contract because we are disappointed or folk are losing. Listen, at some point, we've got to hold on to unity power. Because unity is a way in which you are built up. Hard to be built up all by yourself. I need a witness in the building. Matter of fact, I would contend that not a nobody in here that's higher got higher by yourself. You got connected to somebody. You got connected to some organization. All of you that stood, that served in the military made you somebody. They changed your life. You got in there and they got your life together, elder. They made you a part of a team. They made you a part of a corps. You was a part of the pack. You were a part of that group. And that's who you, and together collectively, you did something together, united. They made you think about the whole unit, not just you individually. The whole group gonna say yes, sir. The whole group gonna run. The whole group gonna do push-ups. Not just individually, but is the unit strong? You don't get higher by yourself. And there has to be a criteria for unity. You can't just throw all unity out just because you've been disappointed by somebody individually. Good God, I didn't want to stay on this point that long, but I know what it feels like for people to hurt you, and then you just decide, I'm not trusting nobody no more. The devil is a liar. That's the worst thing that can ever happen to you, is for you to stop trusting people just because somebody let you down. Or just for you to say, that's it, I'm not dealing with people no more. You're going to be a sad, sorry, lonely somebody if you can't deal with people no more. You cannot allow the negative interactions with evil people or people who just didn't know any better or people who are just focused on themselves to make you stop doing any deals with all people. You got to get up, dust yourself off, get yourself together, pray, and get back out there and find somebody else to be friends with. You still have to have a criteria for unity. You're still going to have to unite because unity is one of the ways that you get up. Faith is one of the ways up. Faith. Faith is moving the world forward. Reading an article just the other day in one of the papers not just about electric cars, but also fossil fuels and algae and biofuels. And it is people who are looking for something that doesn't exist yet. Paul said, till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So unity is one of the ingredients in which we're built up. Faith is one of the ingredients in which we're built up. I said to my son, you got to talk to your team and say, we got to believe we can win. We got to believe we can get scholarships. We're all in this prep program together. All of us are D1 players. We've all been overlooked, and we all have to believe that we still can get a scholarship. We all have to believe that. Without that faith, you won't go up. Without that belief in the thing that you can't see, you won't go up. You'll give up, but I refuse to give up. I realize that faith is a requirement for me to be built up. And I realize that the Lord has intentionally allowed me to be in situations in which faith will be required, because faith is an ingredient to be built up. If you are wondering why you are still looking for something that you don't see yet, it's because God got to get faith in you somehow. Faith is an ingredient for you to be built up, that the building materials for up and higher is faith. I have to believe in something that is bigger than me. Faith is a material to go higher. When I say faith, I mean not ruled by your flesh, not ruled by your emotions. That's faith, to not let my flesh rule me, to not let my emotions rule me. That's faith. Just because I'm angry don't mean I let it rule me. Just because I'm hurt don't mean I let it rule me. Just because I'm in grief don't mean I let it rule me. Just because I'm in pain doesn't mean I let it rule me. Just because it's hot don't mean I let it rule me. Just because it's cold, that doesn't mean I let it rule me. Just because I'm hungry doesn't mean I let it rule me. Just because I like biscuits doesn't mean I let it rule me. Just because I like sugar doesn't mean I let it rule me. I may like sugar, but I'm not going to let it rule me. God help me. That faith is, I'm not going to be ruled by my emotions or ruled by my flesh. Faith is the ability to see that anything is possible. Faith is that I can see the impossible and I can realize anything is possible if I can only believe. That faith is trust. Trust. I trust in God. I trust myself. I trust my team. I trust people connected to me. I'm not going to make it without trust. I'm not going to get higher without trust. You will not go higher if you can't trust. You cannot trust God, if you cannot trust a leader, if you cannot trust somebody, if you cannot delegate, and your company will be stifled if you cannot delegate and trust somebody else to do it. Trust. It's one of the ways up. It's one of the things that's a part of the ingredient that's on the way up. I'll give you one more. I'm done. And I gave you all seven: unity, faith, knowledge, maturity, consistency, honesty, industry. I'll talk about one more, and I'm gonna pray for everybody. That third one is knowledge. Knowledge. That word knowledge there, epignosis, is precise and correct knowledge, not opinion. Not speculation, precise knowledge. Sometimes precise knowledge can be offensive. Sometimes we just feel comfortable in our opinions and viewpoints, and then someone gives us precise knowledge and it can bother us. Every now and then, someone will give you precise information, and when they're done giving you precise information, you realize you don't have as much money as you thought you had. Help us, Holy Ghost. They give you precise knowledge, precise information that you can live according to your viewpoint, your opinion, and even the dream that you have of a better tomorrow. I love the fact that we are dreaming of a better tomorrow, a better world. This is one of the things I love about my children, all my millennials. I love it. It's just this determination to see a better tomorrow and to believe in a world that can be celebratory of diversity. I want that too. But we also, every now and then, get smacked down to reality with precise and correct information. We don't necessarily like that when we have an election that shows us that we're not quite as united and not quite as celebratory as diversity as we wish we were. And now that precise knowledge we can either ignore that or we can take precise epignosis, information, and then use that to be built up. You cannot be built up just on a dream. Good God, help us. You cannot be built up just on your prophetic word. You got to take your prophetic word, and then you got to take the faith from that, and you got to get somewhere and get some precise, correct knowledge. Because without that precise, correct knowledge, you will not be built up. And that's why we saw folk that could prophesy till the sun went down and never got higher because they never added knowledge to their prophecy. They never actually did the actual analysis, Pastor Tyrus, and found out that this is what it actually was. They taught us at Rhema, go to the doctor and find out what's wrong with you, and then we can know how to pray. You can't just say some way, somehow, Lord, just bless me. You better get specifically what you need from the Lord. You need to go and let them tell you, is this the size of the tumor? So you can at least know precisely what you're believing God for. I wish I had a... You need to know precisely. You can't just say, well, God is going to take it over. You better know with some precision what you need God to do for you. You're not going to get up just looking at the people that like you and tell you the stuff you want to hear. Good God, help us, Holy Ghost. When the folk that we see go up are the people that even want to see the negative comments. They give you a survey because they want to know how their service was. They even want to know if the service wasn't good so that they can make it better. We can't be so sensitive that we just la 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 la, 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 la that we only want to hear what the gospel. Oh, whose report? I'm a leader reported. Praise God for the Lord's report, but you better examine the report of the enemy, if nothing else, for you to know how to combat what's coming against you. You won't be built up without epignosis. You won't be built up without some precise, correct, investigative knowledge. Doing this thing called kingdom is this really powerful balance of faith and fiscal responsibility. Doesn't mean God can't do anything. He can do anything. But I better know the anything he's getting ready to do. So I can say, Lord, this thing due on the 15th. When's it due? I don't even know. I'm just in the throne room. Thank you. But can you open your mail and figure out when it's due, please? So you can say, Lord, it's the 12th. You have to add to your faith knowledge that we know in part and we prophesy in part. That when that which is perfect is come, even the imperfect will be done away with. That we miss the idea that our prophecy is as imperfect as our knowledge. We're all in here because we realize our knowledge is imperfect, and we're trying to get the Lord to speak to us, and we're trying to get the Lord to give us a vision, and we're trying to get encouraged from the scriptures because we know that our knowledge is imperfect. But we, for whatever reason, once we get a prophetic word, we lose sight of the fact that our prophecy can be equally imperfect. And we're going to need some specific, precise knowledge if we're going to be built up. I'm on my way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm on my way up. Nothing can stop. I'm not just getting up accidentally. I'm determined that my walk with Christ will make me built up. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord today. Ooh. Jump on your feet. Reach out and grab somebody's hand. Let's pray for one another. We're just a few minutes over, but it was good. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for our time together. Thank you. Thank you for your hand that's on us for good. Thank you. Thank you for this group, Lord. Look at this group. Came together. Second service, Lord. Second Sunday, Lord God. Look at this group. A group too great to number because of the folk that are watching live stream. And then all of us, all the people that are connected to us. God, I pray that this word that we heard, this moment in your presence, the songs we sung, the presence, the power of God will permeate not just us, but everybody connected to us by the Spirit. Everybody that's connected to us by the soul. Everyone that is connected to us by our love for them. God, may this word touch them. Not just that we share it, but that God, may supernaturally you pull my sons up who aren't here today. Just because they aren't here today don't mean they can't get the benefit of this message. Just because my child may not really know you, Lord, and really may not be in love with you, doesn't mean they can't get the benefit. Lord, let my child get the benefit. Lord, let my grandchild get the benefit. Lord, let my mama get the benefit. Lord, let my cousin get the benefit. May this word be so powerful that even the folk I love get the benefit of it. May we be built up. Till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and the winds and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, may we all grow up. May we be mature. May we be consistent. May we speak honestly. May we do our work, our industry. Oh, God, thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for the visitors that were with us. Thank you for your power that's available to all of us. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Bring us back on Wednesday night, Lord. Bring us back on Sunday, Lord God, as we talk more about being built up in the most holy faith. And God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. And give us peace. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. God, you're our rock and our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. I'm not going anywhere. If you want to meet me, I'm standing right here. First-time visitors, anybody, I'm here. Happy Veterans Day.